This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action. Since 2005, Dr. Gerald Galpin has served as director of CDER's Office of Surveillance and Epidemiology, where he is involved in both pre-market and post-market regulation of drugs and therapeutic biologics. He is a member of the World Health Organization Advisory Committee on the Safety of Medicinal Products, and has served on working groups for the ICH and the Council of International Organizations of Medical Sciences. I am Alberto Grignolo, editor of DIA's Global Forum magazine. We're delighted to speak with Dr. Galpin about drug safety, his work with ICH and with DIA, and his session at the DIA's upcoming annual Pharmacovigilance and Risk Management Strategies Conference. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Galpin. Dr. Galpin, you participated in the joint DIA-ICH meeting held in Tokyo after the ICH meeting in Osaka. Can you provide us any updates from that meeting?
Sure, I'd be happy to. The DIA-ICH meeting held in Tokyo after the ICH meeting in Osaka also preceded the annual DIA-Japan meeting, which was held in Tokyo this year. So it was a perfect opportunity to bring together people from ICH and DIA. There were participants from many, many ICH regions, as well as many colleagues from Japan were attending. The participants broke out into small groups and spoke about a wide range of topics. Not surprisingly, I spoke about drug safety, especially post-market drug safety. And then we reconvened at the end of the meeting to discuss our findings in the small groups. The idea was really to brainstorm. Didn't commit anybody, ICH or DIA, to any further ICH projects, but it was a good idea to brainstorm. So I think it was a very productive meeting.
Did any significant developments emerge from these meetings that you might be willing to share with us?
Nothing that would be a formal ICH action. So no, there was nothing that significant. It was really just more brainstorming.
Big data has often been discussed as a potentially powerful new tool in pharmacovigilance and for ensuring drug safety. What are your thoughts on big data efforts to date or on next steps we might look for in this field?
So I think, as you know, big data is something that's very, very exciting to a lot of people in a lot of areas, and certainly in the area of pharmacovigilance. We, as I'm sure you know, have launched the Sentinel system, and that is a system coordinated by our colleagues at the Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare Research Institute in Boston that works with many data partners. These are generally insurance companies or health plans, and they've aggregated prescription drug use data and health outcomes and diagnoses on 193 million lives across the United States. And they're able to query that data in response to safety concerns that we may have. We've integrated use of that Sentinel system into our review practices, and we've presented different results of that at different meetings. We're also working with our partners up in Boston to see how we can further use this rich data source to mine data, perhaps even someday to generate or detect safety signals, because our use right now is really to evaluate signals that come from other sources, but interest in generating the signals is also there as well. Our commissioner, Dr. Califf, is quite interested in evidence generation, and we've been working closely with him. Last week, we even published a sounding board paper in the New England Journal of Medicine on real-world evidence. What is it and what can it tell us? And I think we're going to be moving forward to explore carefully what these data sources can tell us. But for now, we have integrated Sentinel into our review processes. So we're, I think, on the forefront of these efforts.
If I may follow up quickly on this matter, some people are concerned that big data are inherently a bit noisy, perhaps not as clean as they might be or as clinical trial data might be. What are your thoughts around the cleanliness, if you will, of the signals that you can pick up from big data, and how might one deal with noise?
So I think you're right. That is a concern people have about big data. Big data is generally using data collected for one purpose, to answer another question. In this case, it's using data for health insurance purposes to answer questions about drug safety. So we are cautious about it. The Sentinel program has a lot of efforts on methods development to address some of these issues. And if need be, we can always do a chart validation to validate certain ICD codes or other types of coded biomedical informatic data that are in these databases. So even when we use smaller insurance databases, those issues were still there. So it's something, yes, we have to pay a lot of attention to, but I think, you know, with the proper care, we can come to reasonable conclusions from these data.
Thank you. Moving on to another topic, you serve as chair of DIA's Council of Regulators. Can you tell us when was this council created, what are its goals, and who are its members?
The Council of Regulators was created about a year ago and was formally launched in July of this year, July 2016. Previous to that, three regulatory bodies, ourselves at FDA, our colleagues from PMDA in Japan, and our colleagues from EMA and the European Medicines Network, each had a member on the DIA board. I served as the FDA liaison to the DIA board. And as pharmaceutical regulation and pharmaceutical development becomes more global, I think we all saw the need to involve more regulators in this and have a forum for regulators to provide feedback to or dialogue with the DIA board. So we created the Council of Regulators, which, as I said, was launched in July 2016. Currently, it has members from US FDA, the European Medicines Network, the PMDA in Japan, Health Canada, and from the Singapore Drug Regulatory Agency as well. The DIA board will invite additional members as it sees appropriate. None of us is on the board any longer, but rather we are on this council that interfaces with the board. We had our first full meeting in conjunction with the Tokyo DIA meeting in November, and we had a very robust dialogue amongst ourselves and then with the DIA board on current topics of interest in drug development and drug regulation.
Are there any plans for the thoughts or deliberations of this council to be communicated to the DIA membership or others?
DIA Council of Regular members are very active in DIA, and I think that the kinds of things we speak about amongst ourselves are the kinds of things that we speak about at regular DIA sessions. So I think to the extent that we're participating in DIA meetings, I think people will know the kinds of things we're interested in.
Speaking of DIA meetings, you will serve as chair for the FDA updates session at DIA's upcoming Pharmacovigilance and Risk Management Strategies Conference in January 2017. May we ask you to provide an overview of some of your updates?
Well, first, we're very pleased to be participating in DIA's Pharmacovigilance and Risk Management Strategies Conference. My colleagues here at FDA and I have participated in it for many years, and we enjoy it very much. We'll have representatives both from my office and the Office of Surveillance and Epidemiology, as well as other offices in CDER, because drug safety is a CDER-wide activity. We'll talk about post-marketing safety monitoring within our office here, an overview of our pharmacoepidemiology programs, our risk management programs, our medication error prevention programs. You'll hear some updates about how we've integrated the Sentinel system into our drug safety operations. You'll also hear updates from our Office of Generic Drugs. We'll be speaking with particular attention to our guidance document issued 2 years ago on best practices for pharmacoepidemiologic studies and how that guidance document relates to post-marketing requirements. And we'll also talk about some of the more innovative things that we're trying to develop here.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Dr. Dopin, for speaking with us today and for your time. For DIA Global Forum, this is Alberto Grignolo.